Today on Family Talk.
Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, and today we're starting a two-part program about winning and discipling the next generation of Christians. Our guests come at this topic from two very different directions, so each day we'll have a different focus. Here now is Dr. Dobson to introduce the first guest on Family Talk.
I would like especially to introduce to you now, first of all, a friend that is at my top of the list. In 1985, I had a doctor friend who's now gone on to be with the Lord, who said, if you ever have anybody on your program again, the first one ought to be Joe White. You will never forget him. Get him here. And he kept bugging me about it. He kept saying, have you done it yet? Well, we're going to. I know, but get him there. And in 1985, Joe White showed up as the president of Kanakuk Camps. And I think you had the word Kanakomo in there at one time. But now it's just Kanakuk Camps in Missouri. And you nod your head and nobody can tell you're saying anything. Do you remember that beginning?
Oh, my goodness. I was scared to death. I had so much respect for you and this microphone.
You're a big athlete.
Oh, my goodness.
You played big-time football for SMU. You played University of Texas and the other great schools, and you're coming here and you're scared.
I was a nervous wreck.
Well, you have been on my program one way or the other probably 30, 35 times at least, and it's going to go on for as long as I live and have an opportunity to invite you, Joe. I'm so glad you're here again.
Oh, I've told you several times, Jim, other than my marriage and my family, the best days of my life have been in this studio with you. And a lot of it is just because I love you so much and respect what you're doing so much. But a lot of it is just because the Lord always fills the studio and makes himself really apparent in our interviews together.
Well, and that leads me to say over and over again, people who have listened to this program for quite a while will know it, I got acquainted with you, not in the studio, but back when my son Ryan was 17 years of age.
Never forget it.
And his world was narrow. You know, he loves skateboarding, he loves surfing, and he loved those kind of things. And I was looking for something to broaden his world and especially to make Jesus come alive. Mm-hmm. He was a believer. He was a Christian. But there is a moment, you know, where you take hold and run with it.
Yeah.
And so I called you and we got acquainted. And I asked you to kind of shepherd Ryan when he came. He came and you set him on fire.
Oh, boy. I'll never forget the summer as long as I live. Never forget the first time Ryan stood up to speak. I had him actually speak to the other campers. He's 17
years old.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. He knocked it out of the park. And I remember that next year I came in the studio with you and I told you, I said, Jim, your son is very gifted at communicating the gospel and what's on his heart. And, wow, look at him now.
And he's doing it now. Nice. He just talked to 6,000 people, and God is blessing him. I regret that he's not here. We worked together for 6 years, and I loved it. But God has called him to full-time speaking. And
it's a good thing.
I'm telling
he's
you
great.
To our listeners, and it's not because he's my son. But if you hadn't heard Ryan speak, and if you haven't brought him to one of your events, you should.
He knocks him
dead. Because he's got something to say.
Yeah, he loves you as much as you love him. You know that.
Well, it's good to have you here again.
It's great to be here.
You have been very ill, and I don't know whether you want to talk about it, but I know there are a lot of people out there who love you and would like to know the journey that you've been on.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's been an exciting journey. I call it a small Texas chigger bite. But, you know, men and all you ladies who are married to one of us, you know, we're kind of crazy. And mm-hmm. I mean, men will do the strangest things. Well, I had 3 heart attacks and I ignored all of them. But the third one, and they didn't knock me on the floor, but I knew mm-hmm. I was having a heart attack. And I just knew it'd be okay. But the third one, coincidentally, I was speaking to our institute at Kanakuk, training our college graduates. And I had one as I went in to speak. And as I came out, there was a doctor friend of mine visiting. And he asked me how I was doing. I said, well, honestly, my chest is tightening and my arms are tingling. And so he rushed me to the emergency room and they found, you know, everything was blocked up. And I've been blocked up more seriously than a stent could accomplish. Yeah. And so I ran down to San Antonio to a friend of mine, Dr. Larry Hamner, who does 10,000. He's done 10,000 bypass and transplants. And so, well, he bypassed 3 arteries. And then everything went south, and the dominoes just started falling. And, oh, it's a long story, but anyway, I stayed in for a month. And honestly, Jim—
Well, what does that mean, Joe?
Well, in one of the procedures, my lungs were filling up with blood, and in one of the procedures, they had to go in and take the blood out of one of the lungs. And in the process, they must have hit a vein or an artery, and the lung cavities just kept filling with blood. And it became very serious. And they ended up having to go through my—
It was life and death, wasn't it?
I didn't know it at the time. But afterwards, the second surgeon who went into the lung cutting through my back, he let me know that it was more serious than I thought. But anyway, I was writing a book about knowing Jesus going into surgery. And it was almost like, I'm not putting this on my Lord, my God, but it was almost like God was saying, if you're going to write about me, let me give you something to write about. Because, Jim, as you know, through leukemia and prostate cancer and other tragedies, you know, I've been on the edge of the cliff before a couple of times.
So have I.
But yes, sir. But I've never been over the edge. And I needed to go over the edge to meet Jesus in the way Psalms 139 so tenderly speaks when he says, when I ascend to heaven, you're there. But when I make my bed in the remotest port of the sea, even there your hand will lead me. If I make my bed in Sheol, if I take the wings of the dawn, if the darkness is like night, even the darkness is not dark to thee, and the night is as bright as day, David says. Well, I'd never been that deep in the ocean. I'd never been in the black of the deep ocean. But the Lord apparently wanted me to go there with him. And Jim, as excruciating and awful as that month was, he was there. Mm-hmm. I just kept hearing, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I clung to that.
Were you terrified?
My wife will tell you for a few days, I grabbed that dear, precious woman I've been married to for 43 years, and I told her I was going to die.
Mm-hmm. And the Lord brought you through it. You know, I can identify. Some people listening to us know that I had a heart attack, a bad one, a totally blocked LAD, totally blocked, no blood through it. And that's the main artery. You usually die when that happens. I was playing basketball when my chest seized up. And foolishly, I drove myself to the hospital.
There you go. There's a man for you.
But I wouldn't go in. I sat out in the parking lot and came in finally. I'd been on a medical school faculty for many years. I knew what they do when a 54-year-old man comes in and says that he's having chest pain.
It's not fun.
And I was there for 10 days. The amazing thing is the Lord brought me through that, and that's been 25 years.
That gives me hope.
And I am healthy. But I also had a stroke, and I had prostate cancer like you did. Mm-hmm. Both of them eradicated completely.
God's good.
The stroke was a bad one and lasted 24 hours and explained that. Yeah. No physician can explain that. Mm-hmm. Because by the next afternoon, I was talking normally, and I hadn't been able to say a thing all night. Mm-hmm. And then I've been on 2 airplanes that caught on fire and other things. And here I am, seemingly completely healthy, And I have more energy than a lot of people who work for me. And the Lord has just said, not yet. And apparently he said that to you too.
Yeah, I've told you this several times, but, you know, we've been buddies for 30 years. And every time I come over here, you look and act younger. You do.
It's an act.
Your youthfulness is just contagious.
Well, God has been good to both of us, and I know you feel as I do. There's a reason for it.
Yes.
It's not just to give me more years. Mm. My father was a better man than I'll ever be, and he died at 66. Mm. And why have I been given important things to do? Mm. And doors have opened to me even this very day, as you know. Some things are taking place in my life that are quite exciting. So I believe that the Lord has a purpose and that it's being played out day by day. And I just don't want to mess it up.
I heard that. I agree. I heard on the radio, and I wish I could tell you who said it, but the man of God doing the work of God is immortal till God's time with him is done.
And that time will come. I mean, we'll all face it. I want to be ready to go, and I want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
Greatest words that could ever be spoken.
Now, Joe, there are people listening to us who don't know about your work. The Kennecuck camps. Mm. It made such a great contribution to my family and to my son. Talk about what you do and what God is doing there. It's in Branson or near Branson, Missouri.
Yes, sir, in the Ozark Mountains.
Yeah.
Well, I don't believe in luck, but I'm the luckiest man alive, most fortunate man alive, most blessed man alive. But for the last 43 years, my wife and I have just had the privilege of being able to bring kids from around the world into our sports camps, Kennecuck and Kids Across America. There's 11 camps, travel camps. We work with 20,000 kids a year from five continents and 50 states. And the great thing about it is not that there's a lot of kids. The great thing about it is that kids fall in love with Jesus. You know, at the camp, I am enthralled with today's youth culture. I started working with kids through Young Life when I was 22 years old, and have just had a passion for the souls of high school kids. But at a camp,
and they love you, Joe.
Oh,
it's
my goodness!
Amazing.
I was their dad, now I'm their granddad. And you know, the older I get, the better it gets. Honestly, Jim. But at a camp, you bring kids out of their culture, which everybody knows is a very decayed and more decaying youth culture with challenges and problems that you and I never even dreamed about as high school kids. But the cream rises to the top, and we get a lot of these really solid, committed 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids who Jesus is everything. You know, Christianity's always done its best in the battle. Mm-hmm. And our kids are in the battle. It's World War III for high school kids every single day. But the godly kids, like the first century Christians, they're the boldest generation of young people I think there ever was.
You know, they're a lot bolder than I was.
Oh, baby.
I found the Lord when I was 4 years old, and yet in high school, I didn't talk about my faith.
They do.
You didn't talk about it in those days.
Yeah.
I lived it. But I didn't talk a lot about it.
Well, at a camp, we get to see the kids go from not believers to become believers and then to become Christian leaders. Our dream at Kennecuck is that every single boy, whether he's 7 years old or 18, every single girl will leave the camp one day as a solid, committed Christian leader. And when you know you dream something and you believe something enough in somebody, eventually they're going to believe it themselves. Hmm. And over the years, the kids who continue to come back, they become bold Christian leaders.
It's a sports camp primarily, isn't it?
Yes, sir. We have about 30 or so different sports and activities.
And they can choose.
Yes, sir. Through the sports, we memorize scripture every day. Through the sports, as kids become stronger physically, they become, as they say, bowed up spiritually. And, you know, Scripture says physical gain is of little value, but spiritual gain is of great value. We take that seriously. But we wakeboard and climb mountains, and we have an airplane camp where they learn to fly, a scuba camp where they learn to, you know, navigate underwater, survivor camp where they learn to go out and, you know, in the woods and survive.
And football and basketball.
Yes, sir, and then all the traditional sports that, you know, football camps, soccer camps and all. But making Jesus known, the sports are just a platform for us to make our faith relevant to the kids.
I asked you a question when we had lunch a while back that I want you to answer for our listeners. You've been dealing with kids since 1972.
Yes, sir.
You know children, and they know you. You are a guru with kids. I've seen you. I know it. And that's why I want to recommend the Kennecuck camps to our parents out there who have not yet sent your kids to Kennecuck. I don't know. You may be full up for the summer. Is that right?
Not yet.
Pretty close. How many kids come in?
Well, in all the camps, the urban camps, 7,000 of our kids are inner city kids, 13,000 kids are rural kids and suburban kids and just kids from, you know, every kind of household imaginable. But and we have travel camps, so we work with 20,000 kids a year.
Oh, man. All right. The question I wanted to ask you with that experience through all those years is you get a new crop of kids, what, every 2 weeks?
Yes.
They come in. You don't know a lot of them. You've got returnees, but you don't know a lot of them. How are they different now than in 1972?
Was it C.S. Lewis that said, in the heart of every man and woman, there's a God-shaped vacuum that can only be filled by a relationship with Jesus Christ?
Yeah, I've heard it attributed to about 10 people, so I don't know who said it.
It's true. Kids are hungry for Jesus. Always have been, always will be. And the more I work with kids, the more I disciple kids, the more I go deep with kids, the more I realize that their hunger will either be filled with pornography, which unfortunately is consuming a generation, not of just boys, but of boys and girls, literally consuming a generation, or drugs, or alcohol, or all of the above, or they're going to fall passionately in love with Jesus. He's going to become their addiction, if you will, their habit. These kids that I'm on the phone with, I have groups that I study the Bible with on Sunday nights. So camps, for me, is not just a summertime ministry. It's a year-round ministry. In fact, our goal is that every one of our summer counselors has a group of kids he works with in the summer on a year-round discipleship phone call. But as we find out, as we go deep with kids, there has just never been so much excitement among kids to tell the world about their Jesus.
All right, but how is it different now than then?
Well, obviously they come in with a greater need, and they also come in more beat up by their youth culture than they did 20, 30 years ago. But they come in hungrier. You know, at our camp, I can hardly describe it, Jim, but there is a peer pressure. Just because of the zeal of today's Christian kids, there's a peer pressure to push 20,000 kids to the cross. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we get kids from all walks of life, but there's a lot of kids who love Jesus. And there's just, you can feel the pressure, not from the counselors or from us. We make him available. But these kids just gently push each other to the cross.
They exude it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I've got this little brother sister that you know I work with, and you know, am kind of a granddaddy too. And after every game in public school, both of them, one high school, one junior high, they get the opposing team because they're the best athletes out there to hold hands in front of the crowd and pray. Mm-hmm. Well, it's okay for kids to do that, and our kids know it's okay. They can do anything they want to do, and so they take these bold steps, and the adults just stand there and. And honor the kids who are out there on the court in public school praying. Well, that wouldn't have happened 20, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. But that's typical of the modern-day American Christ follower that thrills me to death as a youth guy who's been around for 40 years.
But they're so twisted and warped by the culture. Oh, it breaks your heart.
Yeah, yeah.
And now the thought of boys going into girls' locker rooms, can you believe that? If that isn't the stupidest thing I've ever heard, our president is going to mandate that for every public school in the country. The man is over the cliff from all I can see with that kind of objective. When you think about it, we've got in North Korea, they're building missiles with atomic bombs attached to them. And Iran's working hard on the same thing. And you've got ISIS and you've got Libya and you got all these problems. And here in America, you got drugs and all these things. What's he worrying about? Bathrooms. I mean, that's off the chart.
Make it a statement. The fun thing about kids is, Jim, they're too naive to know they can't. And those kinds of things that erupt their culture, it just makes them stronger leaders. They read their Bible more. They speak out more about their faith. They lead Bible clubs on their football teams, in their locker rooms, in their homes before football games. Because the culture does nothing but bring out the fighter in these kids. They want to do it Jesus's way. And so the worse it gets, the better they get, the stronger they get.
Who's helping them do that? Is it the church? Is it Young Life?
All of the above.
Youth for Christ?
All of the above. I think those of us who love kids, those of us who really want to see kids walk with Christ, it's improved our walk as well. You know, we've had to become a whole lot more forthright and a whole lot tougher and a whole lot more committed. Like I said, camp is no longer a summertime thing. It's a year-round thing. It's all about discipleship, not just bring them to camp and have a little evangelistic run, but it's all about year-round discipleship.
Mm.
That's what it's done to the youth workers around the country.
You still love Jesus, don't you?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, if I ever did. Sitting in the hospital for a month in darkness made me love him more
you
than I've ever loved him before in my
days.
Life.
How are you different when you came out of there? You are already.
When he pulled the last tubes out of my chest, there were five off and on. I cried, and I tried to hug the doctor, but he wasn't a hugger. I was so thankful to breathe again. And I remember coming home and taking my wife's hand and going for a walk. And I saw the belted kingfisher on the cable by the lake. And I saw the bluebird. And I saw the robin. And my feet were walking in the wildflowers. And Jim, the world has never been more beautiful. My wife has never been more attractive. Oxygen has never been more precious to the lungs. You know, with gratitude, you can go through anything. And people go, how are you doing? I go, I've never been better in my life. Because I'm just so crazy grateful to have another day to lead kids to Christ, another day to take them through discipleship training. Life's never been better. And God's never been closer.
Joe, I love it when you come here. You have a long trip to get here. There's not a direct flight from where you live to where I live. Mm-hmm. But whenever I invite you, you jump on a plane and you come. And there's no one that inspires me quite like you do.
Thank you.
Because I love children like you do. And when I was a junior in college, I knew that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to help families and help children, help them raise their children.
Wow.
And I'm still at it today. But you're a colleague in that effort, and I just can't tell you how much I appreciate you.
Oh, buddy. Yeah, fellow warriors.
Now, you brought a friend here who has been absolutely silent today. His name is Tom Bowen.
Oh, boy.
And we're going to talk about him in your presence next time.
I can't wait.
I didn't want to get into that because I want to talk to you about an update on your life first. But tomorrow we're going to do it. Tom, I hope you didn't mind sitting there today. Tomorrow we're going to put you to work, okay?
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Blessings to you, brother.
You too, my friend.
How true it is that we need to get our kids on fire for the Lord while they're young. And as we conclude this conversation with Jill White, the president of Kanakuk Camps here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, please know that if you're interested in sending a child or a teen to Kanakuk this summer, it's not too late. Follow the link on our website at drjamesdobson.org, and you can get more information and register for an upcoming camp. But while you're online, why not take advantage of the tremendous resources we offer to help you and your family grow in Christ and grow together? As you know, Family Talk is a listener-supported ministry, so if you're able to, we'd really appreciate your support and your contributions. You can donate online or call us at 877-732-6825. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for joining us today. And as you heard Dr. Dobson mention a moment ago, let me urge you to come back again tomorrow and you'll hear Tom Bowen's fascinating story of search and rescue in the Twin Towers in the horrific aftermath of 9/11 and how that taught him the importance of a lifeline for all Christians. That's coming up again next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.